pastor and his precious wife. God bless you. My wife says it doesn't matter. Wow, what a good crowd. It doesn't matter what you say. She said they've already, the ladies testified, the men testified, the preacher testified, the choir sang. So I guess she's telling me, let's go home and eat, I guess. I'm not certain about all that. What a great honor for my wife and I to be here today. She said, please don't make me stand, so I'll obey. My wife and I are here. Thank you for letting her come. She said, be sure to tell the ladies thank you for the conference. And, of course, Miss Nolita as well. I love it when our ladies go to a conference because on Sunday, they get back on Saturday. Sunday, it's the easiest day of the year to preach. They're all so sweet and submissive and want to. How many men have already enjoyed a foot massage? Let me see. She came home and fought and massaging her feet. That doesn't happen. My wife and I, in December, we were married 52 years. And, you know, women, let's just stop right there for a moment, think of that. But women, one of the problems in marriage is they don't think like a man thinks, right? But I come home from the office and I throw my hat in the door. If it doesn't come flying back out at me, I know I can come on in and I'll be sleeping in the house that night. But I thank God for you ladies. I told the college and career people the strength of the church is that generation. And they'll pass something down to the next and keep going. What your parents and elderly people gave, pass it down.
That's right.
But also the strength of the church is found in ladies. Read that last chapter of Romans. Paul mentions 26 people. Most of them were ladies. The church, first one at the cross, last one at the cross, first one at the tomb, ladies.
That's right.
And we thank God for you. You know, we live in a day where womanhood is under attack.
Yes. That's right.
And it's so refreshing to come see you, see your spirit choir. I don't know if it's appropriate. I videoed all that. I'm taking that home. And the choir, they'll sing it tonight, right? And I hope that you'll sing. I am looking for a clock. I have no idea. Could someone tell me, is there a clock? There used to be a clock up here, you told me. Is there a clock up here? Where is there?
On the pulpit.
Okay. It is going on 9 o'clock back home. I'll try to have you out by 12 back home time. My dad would say, hey, son, if you don't strike oil in 20 minutes, quit boring. And so I'll try to get right with it. Big honor for us to be here. We love your pastor and his dear wife. You're blessed. You know, I think sometimes we think a pastor can get off the scene, and I go, God always takes care of things. But I don't know who you'd get. Having a college there, we have a file about that thick right now of churches in America without a pastor. I said, could you send us one? We can't. Our graduates, we just started school last week. They're coming in next week already interviewing our seniors. The laborers are so few right now. That file, this church right here has an auditorium in that file, 2,500 people with about 50 people left. All the Sunday school rooms. This church right here has $2 million in a savings account. I said, please don't tell anybody that. God's going to lead me there. I think I'm not certain. But you're not going to find a Brother Ricky Gravely ever again. I'll tell you, he's something. And his dear wife. And love him while you have him. And I hope that you will. Come see us in California. You know, California, we're known as everything we're known for, we are. Our state is so wicked, so wicked, so vile. It's godless. How are you, Calvary? Yeah, I know. I'm on the mission field.
Yes, sir.
And God put us there.
Yeah.
And yet you come to our church in the heart of the Silicon Valley, all liberals around us. It wasn't like that, but it's become that way. You know, California is a very, believe it or not, except for Los Angeles and San Francisco, a very right-wing conservative place.
Yeah.
They believe in, we don't get to carry them, guns and God and limited government. We believe in all that. But God put us there.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all that, I wish you could see our church. Good people. Love the Lord like you do. We've been refreshed. We do not travel. We have not been out of church in 3 years at our church. And in the last 4 years, one time I came here to Tennessee, and my sister passed away and we had her funeral. But we just don't leave our church. So for us, this is a real high honor. I'm going back revived. Thank you, Pastor. And I do my best to not be long-winded. We've already been so blessed today. Pastor said, I'm humble. I am humble and proud of it. You know, it's amazing how we're not humble, are we? All of us have pride. I was praying about that this morning. It's amazing you should say that. I want to do the best for God. And the Touchstones are here, right, two rows behind my wife. I got to be their pastor for several years. Their son is a preacher in Illinois now. He was in second grade in our school. Our son was in that second grade. He's a pastor in Arizona. We have three kids, and our one son-in-law is a pastor in Los Angeles area, Newport Beach. Our son is a pastor in Surprise, Arizona. And our other son-in-law is preaching this morning in our pulpit. He's been with us on staff 20 years. And God's blessed us with 14 grandkids. God's been so good to us.
Yes.
And I've got to get going, but I can't tell you how excited I am to be here today.
Yep.
And the touch of God is here. Choir, you help me. That trio. And the testifying. And Pastor, God bless you. Hebrews today, please. The book of Hebrews. And I just trust the Holy Spirit of God show to you and tell you how happy I am to be here. So grateful to be here. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Our Father, I want to do a good job today representing you. Right behind me, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. God, may we lift your name. May we be helped today. I pray that you'd use this truth to help us to stay, as we've just heard, well done, my child, to the finish line. May we not quit early. May we not cave to sin and do wrong. God, speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2 of Hebrews. Of course, the writer of Hebrews, and I don't know who it is. I believe it's Paul, but I may be wrong there. He's writing to the Hebrew Christians. These are saved people. As I'm speaking predominantly, undoubtedly, to saved people today. Wherefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Yes. He's writing to Christians. And he's saying, Christians, you can let some things slip.
Yep.
It's possible.
Yes.
Then he says in verse 3, how shall we escape? Escape what? This slipping.
Yes.
How is it that this good man here, really a holy man of God, a great young preacher, how is it that he preaches 10 years and then he slips? How is it? I'm not criticizing him. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, frail. Paul said, I'm just a wretch. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm capable of doing anything foolish, and so are you. How shall we escape? Escape what? Slipping. How shall we escape if we, what's that next word? Neglect. So great salvation.
Yes.
I want to talk to you this morning about the progression of a backslider.
Yes. Yes.
I hope when I draw my last breath, I'm living for God. I don't know if I will be. I hope so. In just a few weeks, this month and next month, October, as far as I know, it'll be 68 years ago I asked Christ to be my Savior. But I've not finished my race yet.
Yes.
Who knows what I could do? Put place no confidence in the flesh.
That's right.
See, I'd never do that. You don't know.
Amen.
So by the grace of God and dependence upon him that we might know him.
Right.
And they said, how shall we escape slipping away from God if we neglect so great a salvation? I never give numbers how many people are coming to church and all this. I want to give you a number for the sake of emphasizing my message. Our church will be 50 years of age on July 13th next year. And I remember when that little church had about 20 people. God's blessed us through these years. And I say this, and I'm sure it's going to sound, I don't mean it braggadocious. 92,000 people have walked the aisle of our church and have personally one-on-one been led to Christ, to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That does not include, and yesterday, I know some numbers are in from some groups already. We must have had 40 or 50 or 60 or maybe 100 saved out soul winning yesterday and this week. That doesn't count that. We have had 92,000 people trust Christ. I baptized over 19,000 people. I say that to say this, where are they?
Yeah.
19,000 baptized into the membership of our church. That doesn't count others that have come in. 20,000, I've pastored 25,000 people at least, probably 35,000 through the years. Members of ours, where are they? They don't have 35,000 attendance this morning. Well, the choir's filled this morning back home. And the auditorium, there's five sections. That's filled. What I call the bleacher seats on the side, that's filled. Balcony one's filled. Most of balcony two's filled. And there's other buildings, other properties. Thank God for the crowd that's there. But I'm telling you something, where's the 35,000 I've pastored? How is it possible that someone could be in a church like this at a year from, see, a year from now, y'all won't be here. 5 years, if our Lord tarries, y'all won't be here. We'll get sideways with the preacher. How could you get sideways with him? I can understand it with me. But a nice guy, how could you get sideways with a guy like this, a pastor like this? Well, we'll fall out of church. We'll fall into sin. We'll have all these other things that attract us. And all of a sudden, the thing of going to church is a thing of yesterday. How does that happen? We neglect our salvation. By the way, don't fault me of the success rate. Jesus' success rate was 25% at the best. Four soils, only one was good. Jesus, another time, his success rate was 10%. 10 were healed, one came back and said, thank you. 10%. And so, lest we think, where are those 35,000 people? They're like what Jesus experienced in his life. He had 12 disciples. One betrayed him. Look at the verse. How shall we escape if we neglect? And I'll tell you where backsliding stops. We just neglect.
Yes, sir.
It's no big deal. We just don't read our Bible like we used to read our Bible. We don't praise God like we used to praise God. We don't pray like we used to pray God. It takes a 911 call to get us praying again. It takes us the doctor saying cancer or a grandchild in a car accident or a wife walks out or a husband walks out and oh, I need God. We need God all the time. In the sunshine day, in the sorrow day, in the happy day, in the sad day, in the good days, in the hard days, we need God. We're all tied up with everything in this world, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship. I love that word, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. You know, we had a lady, she's still in our church. Her husband, first husband died, second husband died. She only lives a few houses down from the church. Years ago, she was raising six kids by herself. She was poor, and her car broke down. She said, what am I going to do, Pastor? I got to have a car. I got to work. I got to feed these kids. And you know, I said to the church on Wednesday night, we found a car. Let's buy it for her. And we bought it. You've done the same thing. And that thing ran and did well. And it started losing oil. She just knew, lift the, I didn't know she was doing, lift the hood up, put a quart of oil in, lift the hood up, put a quart of oil, and then that died. And she had pretty much by that time raised these kids. And I said, I think you're time for a new one. And here's where you go, and I give you the guy's name, and you get a brand new one. You can only get one of these little, the smallest little Ford. And I said, you can't get all the nice things on it, but I think you can get this one. You know, she got that. She washed it every week. She shined it about once a month. She kept that thing just immaculate, but she never opened the hood. And she drove it a year, never opened the hood. The old car you did, oh, drove it 2 years, drove it 3 years. She had a 4-year loan, and right before the fourth year, she said it made this awful noise. Somehow she had run that thing out of oil. She never looked in the, she just neglected it.
Yeah.
Just neglected it.
Yes, sir.
You know, as a car, an automobile needs service.
That's right.
Marriages need service. I know that, and I'm not trying to be humorous. I know you ladies were so blessed this week. And God bless you, should be blessed. It's a heavy load caring for a, if you're married or with children or with grandchildren or you're a widow or you're single, that's not an easy, in this world which we live. I look at the Christian ladies in our church, I don't even know how they dress so beautifully, so modest, so Christian. You can't even, where do you buy clothes like that? God bless the Christian ladies, but what a load you carry. I'm talking about a heavy load you carry in life, being a wife and a mother and this and that. Miss Treber knows, and she may have tell you, we've been married all these years. She's never had a tooth. She's never had a dental appointment for a cavity. She's never been sick. She works all the time at church. And then almost 2 years ago, she had the first accident and shattered that ankle. And they screwed it together and pinned it together and wired it together. And 5 weeks later, she was trying to help me, and she crawled up to the second floor of our house and in the bedroom there, and she's coming down. And she, before church on Wednesday night, trying to help me, and she jumped to the first step. She should not have done that. And she fell head over heels. I was right there. And the femur bone separated 3.5 inches apart. And the small bones around the hip broke. And that's another surgery, and Rod, all those things.
Yeah.
You know, for the first time, I've tried to be good to her, but I've never been the housewife.
Yeah.
I guess they have something called a vacuum cleaner. Oh, I vacuumed before, and I try to help around the house, but I've never done the laundry. And I bought her a really nice laundry thing years ago, several years ago. It had all these computerized. Get rid of that thing, please. It's just like 1, 2, 3. That's all I want. So we got a 1, 2, 3. I tell you what, I about lost my salvation doing the laundry. I know you have to do pre-fill or whatever. And so I'd put the soap in there and put it down and get it going. And then it locks. What is with that? And I mean, I would get in the flesh, pull on that. I'd get so, the first thing I wanted to go do is find a claw hammer. Because if something's not working, just get a hammer. It'll work all the time. You know, it's so easy to neglect your wife. Man, you know, thank God you're not a wife. But fellas, just insert this here. Don't ever let your wife know you know how to cook. That's a case of the stupids if I've ever heard it. Do not tell her you know how to cook. You'll be cooking the rest of your life. But how about service in your marriage?
Yes. Yes.
How about ladies servicing that husband?
Yep.
All those days went so fast, our three little kids. We took them in their little crib. I'd steal away many nights, couldn't sleep. I'd go in that and kneel at their crib and just pray for them. I'd go to the door as the girls got older, and I'd lay at the door at their bedroom, and the door was shut, and I'd just pray for those sweet little teenage girls, little sixth grade girls, and pray for our son. I never told my son to be a preacher, but I prayed every day that God would cause him to be a preacher. I prayed my girls would be preachers' wives, and God just did that. But I'm going to tell you something. Those deposits in their life never stop. Today, not only do we have to pray for our boys and our daughters and our grandkids by name, you never stop with this thing. Service that relationship. Service your church. Service a relationship with him. How's this thing start? Oh, I just neglect. Miss church. Miss church. Now, wait a minute. I'm sounding like I'm attacking. I'm sure maybe this is online, so my people are hearing it. I love them. I tell them every service I love them. I love them to death. I thank God they're the best church. They've been so good to me. This summer, I put in the bulletin about 2 weeks ago. I think it was 23 or 25 countries we were in this summer, our church on vacation. And I'm happy people get to travel to Holland and Switzerland and Sweden and Italy and Paris. I'm happy for them. And we went all over the United States this summer, and I'm thankful they got vacations. They deserve it. But our adult department, we have 16 adult classes, fairly large classes. We averaged 500 adults every Sunday all summer missing. And they deserve vacation. And then they'd come back. It's just we're on a going society. And I thank God they're back, we're at it, we're in schools, we're in their bus rides, we're serving, the buses ran all summer. But I'm just going to tell you this, that if we're not careful, we feel like we can miss, just I'm laying out of church today. I'm out of church today, can't come, tired, we'll come to church and sleep. And that man will keep you awake. How does it begin? Neglecting our salvation. Go to chapter 5, please. Spent too much time on that. Chapter 5. Once you neglect, here's what happens. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 11. He's talking to the same Christians of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye need that one teach you again. And the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as need milk and not strong meat. Look at verse 11 again, dull of hearing. You know what happens? You neglect your salvation. It leads to the next step. You start to deflect it. Like water off a duck's back. Dull means I'm bored. I'm bored of hearing. I've heard it. I've heard the testimonies. Brother, so-and-so's going to stand up. Sister, so-and-so's going to say a word. I've heard the choir number. Preachers preach that illustration before. You know, and we get bored with church. Bored with the Bible. Bored with prayer. Bored with soul winning. Churches like this are amazing. It's sort of like our church. I get to the door, people visit, and they said, you know, you had 127 people in the choir this morning. You know what? People do that generally. They're bored.
Tell it. That's right.
Christians, if we're not careful, we become professional counters. We like to count things. And so these chandeliers could drive somebody nuts. I mean, they could drive you crazy because you can't see all the way around. So you're sitting here counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I wonder what's on the other side. Well, we're on that side. 7, 8. And we count, and then, okay, so we've got 8 lights. I wonder how many, and you don't, you're about right in the middle of the auditorium, so you don't have any more chandeliers. So you have to drop something on the floor, and to go get that, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you got 4, 5, times 8. Are there 8 lights up there? Are there 8? No. Okay, 8 times 5 is 40. You've already counted. Thank you, Brother Jones. You can go back to sleep right now, my brother. But Brother Jones, there's one in the middle there. And it looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lights inside that. So another 5 times 8 is 40. There's 80 lights right there. Oh, we got these sconce lights here. 2. and you have to drop something again. Okay, there's six there. You add up all the lights, but then you got these spotlights. Church is fun. Oh, and then they're in here too. So you got to drop something again, find out how many are there. Then we start counting pews. So if you're right here, you say, okay, I'm here on row number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm in 9. Listen, I round it off to 10. And you got to drop something to see how many are behind you. And then you try to figure out, okay, there's, let me get a row here that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 8 people per row, per this. And we're professional counters.
Yes, sir.
And the preacher prays, bless God, the word of God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't be a member of this church. And I'll tell you why right now. These 2x2 squares are driving me crazy. And it's not a far trip, I'll tell you that right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Are there 11 to the middle, Brother Jones? Give me a count there, my brother. 10. I think it's 10. You're great, Brother Jones. 10 plus 10 is 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. And 2 for pole to pole, 25. There's another 20. There's a pole back there, 25. That's 50. And then I won't go back there yet. 50 times how many? 20. You got to be kidding me. We go to church and count? You know why we do things like that? We're bored. And maybe it's my fault. Maybe I'm not preaching with, I know pastor has all this shout and great energy and fire. Maybe I'm not preaching strong enough. But then we count choir loft chairs and we count 1, 2, 3, 4 guitars over there, 1 over here, 5 over here. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I always go in the auditorium during the week and it's dark, but you know they have the security lights, or what do you call it, fire lights on. And so you're good enough to see after a while, you adjust. I was up in the second balcony a while back. And I was picking things up, and I saw our people kick the place. As soon as they leave out, it's ready for the next service. It's clean. But I found a tithe envelope, and it said on it, celery, carrots, milk, bread. I wonder what that lady was doing. I saw one, Brother Harris. I saw one that had the bulletin. My picture was on it, and put a full beard on me and a mustache on me. Put glasses on me, put long hair on me, you know. Boy, I was looking good. You know what happens if we're not careful? We neglect long enough, we start to deflect it. It really, Bible Baptist, it's good. It's good church. Just as it, we could cut the service down if we didn't talk so much. You know, we already have. Back in the day,
yes, sir.
I mean, my pastor never preached under an hour, normally an hour and 15 minutes. Yes. And I'll tell you what, he wasn't a pulpiteer, and he was a Bible teacher.
Yeah.
And it was a great church, but we'd sing 3 stanzas of the invitation, and nobody would come, and then we'd go home. But it's just the way it was. No shout. We didn't say amen. I'm glad I was raised in that church. It's a great church. I can't imagine being part of a church like that now. But I tell you what, you come to a church like this with shout and with tears and with joy and with fellowship. Everybody I talk to here today was so kind to me. The problem is, I love you folks, but I feel like I'm in a foreign field. I was just in North Carolina. Those folks in North Carolina, I preach there quite often. They speak Southern. And I don't know what you folks are even speaking. I have no idea. I mean, you don't even get near English. I'm talking about you. You have the y'alls. But it's not just, hey, y'all doing well. It's how y'all. It takes forever. Y'all doing. I mean, folks, Tonight I'm going to give you a lesson in English. What happens? We neglect.
Yes, sir.
And we've all been guilty, haven't we?
Yes.
And we deflect. And you know what it leads to? Chapter 12, and we're done. Don't put your shoes on, ladies. We're not quite that done, but we're almost done. We neglect long enough, and then we go to deflecting. I've heard it before. I've heard that choir number before. We neglect, we deflect, we reject. Chapter 12, these are the same people, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Is God speaking to you? For if, here's that word again we found in chapter 2. If they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh.
Amen.
You know what happens? You turn away.
That's the truth.
We turn away. We reject it. Everywhere I go, we have the Touchstones are a good example. We have folks all over America. I go preach somewhere, and former members are there, and I'm always glad to see them. They live now, and I was preaching several years ago in Dallas area, and had 13 families. They all don't go to the same church, but around that Dallas area, they waited in line after church on that Monday night and said, Pastor, we just want to talk to you. We want to say hi to you. And they're going to church. That's great. The next week I was in Florida, 13 families, the same number as in Dallas, 13 families were there waiting. The next week I was in the Chicagoland area, 13 families, 3 weeks in a row, 13, 13, 13, still going to church. We have a lot of folks still going to church, but most don't go to church anymore. I'm talking about people that used to testify. That one time would sing and shout and play the piano and sing in the choir and teach Sunday school and serve as deacons and ushers and you name it, they were there.
That's right.
They're not going to church today. They've rejected it. Your area is so much different than ours, and I love it here. We just love it. We're overwhelmed with the Baptist churches here. We've never seen it. You know, I want to go out and preach places. Brother Grant, you see it all the time around here, but we don't see it. Our city only has 150,000 people. Our city's Santa Clara, California. Monday night's football game will be there tomorrow night in 1 mile from our house, 1 mile from our church. The 49ers play there. That's why we don't have tornadoes there, because there's never any touchdowns. But you know, but in our area, in our valley, all around us, are 2 million people. We live, our house is on the back of the expressway. At the stoplight, there's 10 lanes. And at a boulevard, there's 185,000 cars a day in my backyard. There's 500 jumbo jets over my house every day. It's a big area. We live in the Bay Area where there's 9 million people in our area. But tonight, of over 9 million people, I don't think you'll find 5 churches that are open tonight. I don't think there'll be 5. How in the world, how do you, how's a preacher, how do you shut the lights off?
Yeah.
I got saved on a Sunday night. How do you shut the lights off? Hey, you preachers, if you're watching, I don't know if it's online or not, but if you're watching, hey, why don't you pull up to your church that shut the doors tonight when it's dark and park on the parking lot and take a look at what it looks like with an empty choir loft and an empty dark house where somebody could have been called of God to preach. How's that happen? We've rejected. And I tell you why we're rejecting. We deflect it so long, and we neglect it so long, and the next step, we're out of church.
Yes. That's the truth.
And then the only other time you call is when there's a 911. My wife walked out. My grandson's in jail, Pastor. Can you go visit him? Sure, I will. I'll go visit him. But how much prayer have you put into his life so he wouldn't have to wind up in a spot like that? You're going to need God again. I'll tell you that right now.
That's right.
Oh, I know my parents were older. But I remember as they were slipping away, I'm glad God was there. And the last thing I have on my phone is my wife singing with my dad, "In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." Oh, he had gotten old. My mother had gotten old, died before that, passed away. Her mother was a preacher's wife. October the 4th, 1970, 45 years of age, left 8 kids, died of cancer.
Yeah.
But her dad went on to pastor that church 57 years. Stayed with it.
Yes.
I look at those dear people in my church. For so many of them, I've been their pastor for decades. And I go over here, this section, and everywhere I go, almost every row, I see heartache. But they're still there.
Amen.
Praying for a grandson, praying for a granddaughter, praying for a son, praying for a family, all the way back. I look right here, and I look down this section, same thing. You know, you pastor people long enough, everybody's got a hurt.
Right.
Everyone's got a sorrow.
Everyone's
got a disappointment. Everybody has a heavy burden. But to stay away from God in the early time, back here where you start neglecting and then deflecting and rejecting, will always come back to haunt your life. I hope it's not arrogant coming in here preaching to one of America's greatest churches about backsliding. I need you to pray that my wife and I would not backslide. We're too near our heavenly home to turn back now.
That's right.
I would not, it's a terrible, I would not want God to take her. But if God would take my wife first, I hope that I have enough love for God that I won't turn my back on God.
Yep.
I would hope that if something happens, our kids have been on my heart so heavy this morning for just safety. I've been praying for their safety. I woke up and I had a dream or something, and I'm not into dreams and all that stuff, but an accident took place and my heart's been so heavy. And I said, "Lord, I just dreamed that, but I'm praying right now for this situation. It's not happening. It's just for some reason. I never dreamed this way, but it happened in my heart. I'm praying for this family member of ours, that all the our sweet kids, we love them so much." But I've buried the children in our church, and I've buried the teenagers and the young people. I buried the young boy. I can remember between Sunday school and church, between two, I had two services, ran over between the one, and I got in the doorway, and here's a 20-year-old boy lying in the doorway. The medics didn't get there. I got there first and died of cancer in the doorway. I've watched families derail. And I understand it's hard. But you have to attach to someone other than yourself and your emotions and drink and drugs. You won't believe it, but in this room, there's going to be some drug addicts.
Preach it, brother. Yep. Preach it.
You're going to have to say, "I'm praying for my grandson," as that dear lady told us this week. Pray, preacher. She said, "Pray for my 3 grandkids. They're lost. They're all drug addicts." I was here for the Jubilee, and a lady over here, I could call her name right now. At the door, I was getting ready to go out preaching, and we talked to her about the Lord. She said, "I'm saved. I'm saved." And grew up in this area right here. She said, "I'm saved. I got saved." She said, "Oh, preacher, I'm so far away from God. So far away from God." I said, "Well, then do something about it." I called her by her name. "Do something about it. What needs to get right today?
Yes.
If you're here without Christ, would you come and get saved?"
Yes.
"Today, a lady will show a lady, a man will show a man. However you do that, you'll get saved today. Your name will be recorded in the book of life. Heaven's your home." And friend, if we start just say, "I'm not at step 3, I'm here. I'm not at step 2, I'm here." Well, maybe we're starting to neglect some things. Our heads are bowed. Father, these are wonderful people. I do not want to preach down to them. I don't deserve to preach to a church like this. Or my own church. I just don't deserve this grace. God, help these young children and young teenagers to get some things anchored in their life, settled right now. There'll be many things that will try to take them away from God, from you. Self, flesh, sin, money, relatives. Amnon had a friend, a relative. Pride. Can't go to church, got to make money. Oh, God, please. In the pews, many are coming already. How many in the pews say, Brother Traver, pray for me. I'm at that point, one of these points. I'm right there. Pray for my heart. Pray for my life. Pray for my family. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over? Hands are going up. God bless you. As the pianist plays, will you come? Let's all stand.